And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, for this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. So I think whenever we hear those words, the Lord is my shepherd, I am the good shepherd, we get caught up in how arresting and appealing an image this is, and we almost begin to forget the rest of everything else that Jesus said or to whom he was saying it. And that's okay, sort of. And the image of the shepherd is so popular because often it is attached to very deep gospel in the scriptures. Right? We've already done the 23rd Psalm this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. We like that. We want that. And maybe you also remember the parable of the lost sheep, right? The one where the good and loving shepherd leaves behind the 99 in the wilderness to go find that one precious lost sheep. And when he finds it, he rejoices and hoists it onto his shoulders and then carries it all the way home so that he can celebrate the finding of this lost one with his friends and his family. Or you might even remember Jesus describing his return at the end of time. He says, when the Son of Man comes and all of his holy angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory and all people will be gathered and he will separate them of the way a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. And to his sheep on his right hand, what does he say? Come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The good shepherd, he finds us, he cares for us, he brings us to the eternal kingdom. And yet there is more here than just that. And you may have noticed that Jesus spoke of laying down his life so that he might take it up again. And right, that's a reference to Good Friday and Easter Sunday, which is why we get this Good Shepherd reading in the midst of the Easter season year after year after year. Jesus is the Good Shepherd because he died and he rose. But all he does as the agent of the Father. He's the one who is executing the Father's will freely in love and confidence. And he does all of that for us. And that's why we need to hear it this day, that this business of Easter is about the Father's will to gather into one flock under one shepherd all people so that we might have life and have it abundantly. So let's begin with that odd phrase, the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Now this does not mean that the Father didn't love the Son until Jesus took up the work that he was given. Obviously the love of the Father for the Son and the love of the Son for the Father is part of the eternal mystery of the Trinity. For God is love and is the grace that is poured out upon the creation that comes forth by the will of God to be loved by him. Now, the sense of love that Jesus is getting at here is the delight. It's the joy that the Father has in the Son as he does the Father's will to redeem the fallen by laying down his life in such a way that he had to take it up again. With hell crushed and death broken and sin atoned for, the Father loves the Son because the Son restores the fallen to life. Now, why is Jesus saying this? Well, here you have to remember that he's speaking to the Pharisees in Jerusalem who have been giving him grief after he healed that man who was born blind. So it is quite pointed when Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd, since the implication is that the teachers and the Pharisees and the leaders of Jerusalem are not good shepherds by contrast. They are the thieves. They are the hirelings. They are not working according to the charge of the Father. They have not been seeking to restore the fallen or to redeem the lost. So Jesus, the good shepherd, receives the Father's charge and executes his will. He lays down his life. He dies by his own authority, freely. No one forced him, not the Father, certainly not the powers of Jerusalem nor Rome. And as you might guess, The grammar here is all about sacrifice. Jesus sacrifices himself in order to take away sin and condemnation, in order to free the sheep from death and hell. And when Jesus said, "I lay it down so that I may take it up again," he meant that he does it freely and innocently, without sin, without blemish. He is the perfect sacrificial victim, and yet he is one that death has no claim on. Hence, when he gives himself to death in our place, death cannot hold him. Death transgressed its jurisdiction in Jesus, and by so doing lost its power. Jesus laid down his life in order to break death, and having done that, he takes his life up again freely so that he may lead his sheep to life. Now, with all this inside baseball, you may have noticed that we haven't really looked at why we need all this or what it gives to us, and we'll get there, right? We just need to appreciate the drama of what lies behind the image of that good shepherd for a moment. He laid down his life in order to take it up again, in order to lead us to life. As many of you know, one of the things I've been doing to try and keep myself busy during this COVID era is to try and provide a little extra spiritual support to folks outside our regular channels, and that involves making brief devotions for YouTube that are based upon our other readings from the previous Sunday. So this last week, we had the first part of Peter and John preaching to the people after healing that lame man in Jerusalem. And in those words, Peter told the people that they had killed the author of life when they put Jesus to death. Now, I looked at the Greek there, and the word for author is interesting and helpful. The word is archagos. It literally could break down into the first leader or the foundational way maker. Sometimes it gets translated as prince. Author works too. But the image, this title of Jesus as the first leader or the foundational way maker to life, that stuck with me. Because that's what his laying down and taking up his life as our shepherd does. It makes the way to life for us to follow him through this world, through death, and to the glorious resurrection and to life everlasting. Why do we need this shepherd? Because we can't get there on our own. We're sheep. And as anyone who has worked with sheep will tell you, they are not the sharpest crayons in the box. They are stubborn, which is a pretty good description of us. A little dim and a lot stubborn. And so we get into all sorts of trouble, even when we know better. And then in that trouble, often refuse to admit that we've messed up or try to untangle ourselves and only make things worse. We are, in a very real sense, our own worst enemies. And that wouldn't necessarily be a problem except for two things. The stuff that we get ourselves into brings us death, and we have no way to get out of that by ourselves. And the stuff that we do often hurts others, which is not only not right, but justly earns the disfavor of God. We need a shepherd then who will guide us rightly and who can bring us from death to life and who can restore us to favor with God. So that's what Jesus does. He does that because we are his own and he is ours. And he loves us and we hear his voice and we know him. And so we follow so that we can be part of the one flock and have life, even eternal life. But of course, it's not just us that is the problem. Yes, we need Jesus to guide us, and we need him to get us out of the trouble that we get into. We need him to forgive us, but there's also that wolf out there, prowling. And the wolf is not simply the devil. Remember, everything the shepherd does, he does according to the charge that he has from the Father. And this charge is not just to get us to behave or to get us through death to life. His charge is to save us from the wolf. For the hirelings abandon the sheep, but our good shepherd, who is ours even as we are his, who knows us and loves us even as he and the Father know and love each other, he will not let the wolf snatch us or scatter us. So what is the wolf? Well, yes, it is the devil with his lies and his deceit, but it's also death, condemnation, sin. All these swirl around us, ready to take us away into loss and emptiness and death and destruction. And because we are dim and stubborn, we wander into the places that expose us to these threats. Whether it's in how we treat each other, or what things we put ahead of God in our lives, or what petty sins we ignore or try to justify, we are wandering sheep. And simply corralling us doesn't fix the problem. To win us back to God, our shepherd had to take out the wolf. And so Jesus did. Having died and risen, he now leads us to life. And as we hear his voice, we follow, and we find that as we walk in his ways, we begin to bear the fruits of his Spirit. He gives us his life so that in him we might show forth peace, gentleness, patience, self-control, kindness, joy, love, faithfulness, and share with others the grace that we've received. Your good shepherd knows you, friends, and he has risen, and he will lead you through life and death to eternal life and joy. Know his voice, follow him, and live. For Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Alleluia, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.